T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We got a promo. We got a sponsor for the great John Rothstein.
I mean,
now,
as we should,
right?
He's John freaking Rothstein.
Look at the guy. He's on the phone. He's
working. I'm working.
He's
boy,
working.
Oh boy.
He's doing work two times at the same time. I think they call that multitasking.
It's
but
a
John,
nonstop.
John Rothstein's report is brought to you by another all-time great, Bobby V's. Bobby V's,
yes.
Restaurant.
Great restaurant.
Too. And sports bar, the destination crafted for all. You could check John, check out John's podcast, courtesy of SI. And, of course, what else?
Compass CBS? Media.
Compass Media.
SI and then the College Hoops Today podcast via Compass Media.
And on TV on the CBS
Doing
Sports
everything.
Network. There's a lot
just
of things.
Just get in by from last night? You just get in now?
We got home about 2:30.
It's not that bad.
Not bad.
The last game ended. The last game of consequence ended with Syracuse losing to Baylor, and I was up for it. And it wasn't that ridiculously late, but it was late. But I'm curious, because we had really nothing major from an upset variety. You know, from a seed perspective, it's Murray State, but I don't think anybody really thinks that's an upset. So if I had to ask you, what was the biggest result surprise? Not a team keeping it close, maybe like New Mexico State coming back. Was the biggest upset, as crazy as it sounds, like Minnesota beating Louisville? What was the biggest upset?
I picked Minnesota beating Louisville. I didn't think we had one game yesterday where I really scratched my head and couldn't believe it. Murray State dominated Marquette. It was not a great day for the Big East. It hasn't been a great start to the NCAA tournament for the Big East, which we talked about earlier in the week. Villanova won. I thought, and, you know, we had talked about this, I thought that if Yale just played average instead of poorly offensively,
they win
the game by 10 points. I mean, you lose by 5 to LSU, and you go 8 of 37 from 3, and Mie Ioane, your draft prospect, goes 2 of 16 from the field, and one of the field goals was a dunk late in the game where it was uncontested. So if they just played average, they win the game.
And they came back and made it close. I mean, they
had multiple attempts to make a difference here. Multiple attempts.
And that would have been a big upset. Because the rest of it was very
pretty much chalk, if you will.
Because forget the whole 12-5 phenomenon, which happens all the time. This ended up actually going off at like a 2-point spread. Like Vegas respected Murray State, and maybe it's because of a point you've made a lot. It's an accurate point, and that is, unless they play Duke, Murray State has the best player on the court.
He looked like Westbrook yesterday.
He was great.
And that's what, you know, that's what the NBA people I'm talking to, that's the comparison that a lot of people are seeing. When you think about the athleticism, I mean, the dunk he had over Hauser was ridiculous.
But what they did in college was very different.
Well, I mean, here's the difference. Russell Westbrook, when he was a freshman at UCLA, didn't play much. When he was a sophomore, he got into the mix. But that was also a team that had Darren Collison, Kevin Love, Luke Richard, and Mbamute. He was not a focal point, but he was projected to be a better pro, and obviously he's been better than that.
But he wasn't getting the hype that Morant got.
It wasn't even close.
The hype this kid's getting.
No, it wasn't even close. But if you took Russell Westbrook off UCLA and put him on Murray State, who knows what would have happened?
How far now can Murray State go? I mean, the next matchup's tough against Florida
State.
You got
Florida State going deep, don't you?
I got Florida State going to the Elite Eight and losing to Michigan in the region of Sizzle. Now, for all intents and purposes, here's one thing we got to take into consideration. Unless Murray State gets to the Final Four and plays Duke, they will have the best player on the floor in every game that they play. So this is what I'm thinking, though. Are the role players for Murray State going to be able to deal with the length and athleticism of Florida State on Saturday? That was obviously something that, you know, I think benefited them. Marquette was not an overwhelmingly athletic team. Florida State's length, athleticism, the ability to switch could be different. Some news, by the way, too, according to a source, Phil Kofer, who didn't play yesterday for Florida State, will be a game-time decision for Saturday due to a foot injury. He's going to stay with the team. He's a game-time decision for Saturday's game. And also some more news, Nojel Eastern, one of the better defenders in the Big Ten and nationally, who was limited last night for Purdue after rolling his ankle in warmups, per Matt Painter, will be ready to go for Saturday's game against Villanova. So those are two injury updates today. And I'm supposed to get an update in the next 2 hours.
PJ Washington? What's his deal?
Just what Cal said postgame. That's all I have there. I'm supposed to find out, too, if Marcus Evans is going to play for VCU today. If he's going to start, he's going to expect it to play. If he's going to start today for VCU in about 2 hours.
I want to go back to the Villanova game against Purdue. How do you see that game playing out?
I took Purdue, Joe. I took Purdue. You know, I have not been, and I said this, I haven't been a big believer long term in the Big East, and I think you're seeing that come to fruition right now. I thought the league obviously had great balance this year, but for all intents and purposes, I just didn't see long-term potential from this league. But if anybody obviously can win, it's Villanova.
Yeah, the interesting
thing, here's the thing. No Jel Eastern playing in this game is extremely critical because he is somebody who can guard up to five positions on the floor at times and always guard four. So he's somebody who can almost be, I'm going to throw this back for you, Joe, a Derek McKee caliber defender.
Derek McKee.
Like, remember him with the Indiana Pacers?
I remember him well from many battles with the Knicks.
Right, like that type
of
defender.
Derek McKee, Alabama, I think he went.
Right, now, so he's the type of guy who can guard a Phil Booth on one possession and guard an Eric Paschal on the other possession. So defensively, this is a huge, huge thing for Purdue.
Now, you talked about the Big East having a bad couple of days. We know about St. John's. They were an embarrassment. We get that. We know about Marquette being run off the floor. Seton Hall could have won this game last night. The final score doesn't dictate that, but they took a lead late. Miles Powell woke up. He was tremendous in the second half of this game. Was basically putting the team on his back. This is my first time watching Wofford, John. Oh, my God. I mean, they lived up to the hype. They can hit threes from anywhere.
And McGee, like we talked about, he moves without the ball like J.J. Redick. That's who he moves without the ball like. I mean, look, obviously Wofford's a really good basketball team. Obviously Wofford's a team that is no fluke, but you have now set up a true David and Goliath game on Saturday with Wofford, the dominant team from the SoCon, against the most fabled program that we have in the sport in Kentucky, with or without P.J. Washington. That is the vintage March Madness, David versus Goliath, Cleveland State, Indiana, going back to the 80s type game on Saturday. I think it's going to be an unbelievable college basketball game.
I'm not a doctor by any stretch, and I think this was P.J. Washington. I'm trying to remember because there was so many games going on. But I think PJ was the kid that rode into the game
on a scooter
with his knee bent. That does not look like a guy who's playing anytime soon, John.
Right, no. And, you know, for Kentucky fans long term, this is what worries you. I think Kentucky can win on Saturday without PJ Washington. If they have to play Houston or Iowa State, they're going to need P.J. Washington for the Sweet 16 and definitely need him if they see Carolina on the other side in the region of pace.
All right. Mm. Are you hearing anything about Miles Powell? He made it seem like he's thinking of staying. Are you hearing anything about what he's going
to
do?
Look, I'm going to reach out, you know, to Kevin Willard here in the next couple of days and try to follow up on it. But here's the thing, Evan. You know, you understand this and so does Joe. It's like there's only so many spots to get drafted.
Right.
And it all depends on whether or not you get invited to the combine. I believe the number is 80. 80 people get invited to the combine. But if you're not invited to the combine, it's pretty much a sign that you're not going to get drafted. Shamari Ponds didn't get invited to the combine last year. I mean, the thing you have to look at is, are you going to be better having a chance to come back to school and be an All-American, or are you going to be better by going and, you know, testing the waters in the NBA and staying in the NBA? But I would be surprised if Miles Powell is not at Seton Hall next year.
That's good. Now, here's what's more important than Miles Powell. The future of Kevin Willard. He's been here for a long time now. He has proven out to be a great success, a pretty good success. Four straight tournament berths. Is there going to be interest in a bigger school, a more prominent school, trying to pluck Kevin Willard?
You know, he would be on the short list, I think, at a lot of places because of the job he's done at Seton Hall. But here's the question right now if you're Kevin Willard. You're living in the tri-state area. You're making a good salary. You've become synonymous with Seton Hall basketball. If Miles Powell comes back, you're going to bring back somebody who's going to be an All-American. You have pretty much everybody back, and you add Ike Obiagu, the transfer from Florida State. Mm. Seton Hall is a borderline top 25, top 30 team. So,
do you know what job Willard, and I know he was joking, but it kind of ticked me off. You know what job he said he would take?
No, what?
I read this in the Post
what
yesterday.
Did he say?
The Knick job. He said because of the area. No, to back your point up about living here, he's like, I love the area. Yeah. The Knick's job, that's different.
Yeah, well, that's different.
Nah. Stay away.
Nah, Fizdale's he's there.
Yeah, Fizdale's your
guy.
At
least for a while.
He really has done a tremendous job. What's your take
on Willard?
Yeah, yes.
Well, Fizdale's done a great job. I mean, it depends how you look at it. 14 and 58, you know?
What? What do you think of Mullen's job? Because Joe and I were talking about this the other day after that horrible. I mean, it was just terrible. It was an awful, awful game.
Awful game. Arizona State played well the first 10 minutes, and then they struggled. Their turnovers were bad. I mean, they had the game in hand the whole time, I felt.
Oh, yeah.
But you know, Arizona State, I thought, played really well early in the game and then let it go. I mean, here's the thing we got to think about with St. John's. Chris Mullen is obviously a legend at St. John's. He's got 2 years left on his contract. And they just went to the NCAA tournament. I know that the optics weren't good at the end of the season. They didn't play well down the stretch. They didn't play particularly well against Arizona State. But they did get to the NCAA tournament. It's still Chris Mullen. He's got 2 years left on his contract.
Well, I'm not asking if he should be fired.
No, I don't think he's going anywhere.
Yeah.
I just think, and we were both agreeing about this yesterday, that this was a very disappointing year. Let's face it.
I said it to you guys last week.
It was a major disappointment.
You feel like something else was left on the table. And that's the biggest thing I can say about St. John's right now. You look at the scenario that they had, and you're seeing it obviously in the NCAA tournament. The Big East was so balanced, was so down. St. John's, I felt this way early in the season, should have legitimately won the Big East tournament title and also won the regular season title. With all that, you know, with all we saw. Yeah. They were 3-1 against Villanova Marquette. Marquette was dominated by Murray State, and Villanova was fortunate to beat St. Mary's.
Yeah. Oh, well, I mean, one thing about Nova, though, they do know how to win. I mean, that there is something to that. I realize it's a different team than last year. But
great
they
culture.
Do. Right.
You know what they are,
and
Joe?
They got a great coach.
They're a Fortune 500 company. Yeah. Right, John?
Fortune 500.
I'm all over what you say, man.
You're all over the Twitter game. Joe, are you on Twitter?
Are you delirious?
No.
Twitter?
So you just
couldn't pay me enough
but do
money.
You follow Twitter?
No.
So he just gets the papers and watches games.
That's what I do.
Yeah.
I gotta follow Twitter.
I'll fill
Why
him in
the
if there's something.
Why do I have to follow Twitter?
Okay. I'm just
all right. But do you think that I want to do that?
If there is something worth him knowing, I'll say, hey, you know what happened
on Twitter?
What
do I need to know on Twitter? What do I need to know?
Well, like what? I told you that stupid thing about Durant.
Yeah, all right, great.
I tell you.
Okay.
Do I care?
Not really.
Obviously not.
No, I don't think Twitter would.
You don't understand. I have prided myself that I am with 1 year to go on my deal after this year, okay, before I ride out into the sunset.
You're leaving?
Yeah. Oh, God. That I am
where are you going?
Gonna get through the entire run without ever having to be involved in any of that nonsense. I pride myself on this.
But where are people going to tune in to hear the Jets post game on Monday?
Let's see. Depends what tea I'm on.
Well, that's going to be a big loss for us in New York, Joe.
Oh, my God. No loss.
I'm going to be
it's
without
no
this
loss.
Guy. I don't
even
know
no
what
losses.
To do.
You know what I'm saying, bro? No loss. Believe me when I tell you. But I'm still here for another year, so I'll see you next year, too.
And I tell you.
I look forward to it.
There you go.
To his word. Because sometimes people will say they'll never be on Twitter. This guy will never be on Twitter.
I want no part of Twitter.
Or a computer.
I want no part of that. Really don't.
But I get to see your Twitter
beauties.
But
he does. Yeah,
I see it. I love Twitter. It's fun. It's enjoyable.
I got a good text from Monzo this morning about Twitter. He's like, good tweets during the tournament, bro.
Oh.
By the way, is it true? Have Monzo. I heard this correctly? That Rick Pitino, I guess he's coaching in Greece now.
Yes.
Might get the UNLV job. Is that true?
That's not true. It's not going to happen.
Okay. No, I did see it somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, that's been rumored, Joe, I think, you know, on Twitter and things like
that's
that.
That's a perfect spot for him to go now.
It's a perfect spot. And you know, Coach Pitino, I've said, you know, for a long time, if you had one guy to coach a game, it would be him. It's just if you're an athletic director.
Right. No, I understand.
And you make that hire, and if something happens, you're – you know, you're in the middle of all of it. I would be surprised if Coach P got a job next year.
You think he will never coach in?
I don't want to say never because never is a long time. But you know, I just think right now, I think I would be surprised if he got a job.
Interesting.
If you don't want to answer this, you don't have to.
Okay.
I'm giving you an out, but I'm curious because I don't even know how to do this. Do you schedule tweets?
Schedule sometimes.
Oh, you do? Okay.
Sometimes.
What do you mean he schedules?
Because he tweets very early in the morning.
Well, he never sleeps. The guy's up forever.
No, I understand that, but that's why I'm not sure. Because there are days where I sleep later than others,
right,
especially on the weekend, and it seems like you're very consistent. So I was curious if it's a schedule or if you're like, hey, I'm going to do this at the same time.
I quote Mark Twain.
Right.
The best way to get ahead is to get started.
Wow. That's very good.
So does that mean you do it live?
You know,
I think.
Can you also say the coldest winter he ever had was a summer in San Francisco?
That's it. I will tell you this.
This
goes back to college basketball. Before the 14-15 season, I was at a Wisconsin practice. This was the year they had Kaminsky and Decker and beat Kentucky in the Final Four.
Yes.
And
one of the great games ever.
I was doing an interview.
Actually at that game.
I was doing an interview with Bo Ryan.
Right.
And I said, well, you know, how do you lose key players every year, plug them into the system, and still win 25 games every year. And he said, we have a motto around here. And I wrote it down in my notebook after, be really good every day at all the things that don't take talent.
Mm. I like that. That's, you know, it's powerful stuff right there.
That's how I've made it so far.
Yes.
Because God knows I don't have any talent.
Oh, stop.
No, come on.
Stop.
Let's be real.
We have more coming up with John Rothstein. I've been told it's essential that we take a very quick break.
Oh,
it's essential.
Oh, it must be dope.
Then we'll come back. We've got more with John. We'll talk about the conclusion of the Auburn-New Mexico State game. We'll mock Syracuse a little bit. And we'll talk about some of today's action. It is Benigno and Roberts. We're with you for less than an hour because we're going to give you tournament coverage again, much like yesterday. Mike will take over after that. John Rothstein is with us. Joe and I were talking about this earlier. The end of the Auburn-New Mexico State game was, in a weird way, heartbreaking because I feel bad for these kids. A.J. Harris drives to the basket.
Heartbreaking.
Well, they had three opportunities, John, to win the game. Or tie the game, at least.
And that kid's never going to forget that for the rest of his life. Your heart breaks for that. But that epitomized the NCAA tournament, survive in advance. Auburn tried to give the game away. But Al McGuire said that if you're going to have a chance,
you got
to
have that white,
you gotta have that white knuckler. One time,
no,
it's got to happen.
That was
now,
the phrase I was
how about this?
For. Yeah,
in the region of pace, too. Another thing to keep in mind, if Kansas wins one more game and they beat Auburn, they're playing in Kansas City in the Sweet 16.
You think that's fair?
Whether it's fair or not, is it fair that Cincinnati's playing in Columbus today against Iowa?
Eh.
It's not as close.
How about that game? Let's go to that game because I'm intrigued by that game because I got Auburn making a little bit of a run here. So I got them losing to Kentucky in the regional final. But how about that game against Kansas?
I took Auburn. Kansas has not been consistent all year. They're obviously really good against Northeastern last night. But, you know, Auburn has the ability to make shots at a level that could trade blows with a North Carolina. I think this firmly. If North Carolina and Auburn get to a Sweet 16, it could be the most entertaining game of the tournament. You could have it, you know, it could be 100-95.
Really?
Yeah.
You know, to your point, and Joe's mentioned this a lot, and I actually tried to make it earlier and I screwed it all up about the white knuckle game. You saw a few of those yesterday. You know, Auburn tried to blow that game. Maryland had it. Even Michigan State had
that. Almost.
Florida State had it.
Yeah.
Which of the teams that weren't upset are you most concerned about coming off of their performance in the round of 64?
I'm not that concerned about Maryland because I think the situation at LSU is so dysfunctional. I think if that game was 2 minutes longer, Yale would have won. I had no doubt about that.
It felt that way, didn't it?
It felt that way. Look, Yale, I thought James Jones did a great job. His guys didn't make shots.
Yeah.
They were right there. Not overwhelmingly concerned about Auburn. I thought New Mexico State was a good team. You know, I think in the NCAA tournament, you advance and then you hit the reset button.
Right.
You know?
Well, the Michigan State game was crazy because they got to the line a million times and they never missed a free throw.
One. I think they missed one. 26 for 27.
Yeah. Not bad.
Not bad at all.
And
it's a hard game for them to play against Minnesota because it's a common opponent.
Yeah. What was their record again? They played them twice this year in Minnesota?
Once, I believe.
Beat them by like 25.
Once, I believe, in East Lansing.
And they beat him by 25 in that game?
Yeah, they crushed him.
Yeah, I mean, it was a very one-sided game. The final score in that game was 79-55.
Yeah. Oh, I'm off by 1 point.
Oh, you were right there.
They won by 24.
Did you have any problem with Izzo getting in that kid's face?
No, and
thank you, John.
He looked like he was ready to hit the kid.
Our society right now has gotten so soft because of the day and age we're in. Part of it is social media, but he's coaching his team.
You're 100% right about that.
And nobody wants confrontation. Bill Parcells wouldn't be able to.
I mean, it's different. If you can't compare a pro sport to a college
sport. Right, but Joe, here's the thing. I mean, he was hard. He was coaching his team hard. And this is one thing we were talking about in the studio last night after the game. With Josh Langford out from Michigan State, with Kyle Arns, Josh Langford's backup out from Michigan State, Aaron Henry's got to be a guy now.
Right.
They need mileage out of him. And I think Izzo said it in the post-game press conference.
It was effort.
My bads aren't acceptable.
Especially when it's effort.
Yeah, exactly. Our society right now is just so against confrontation.
John, bottle this moment.
No, you're not wrong.
Bottle this moment, everybody who's listening. I want you to bottle it. And I don't mean any disrespect when I say this, Joe. You know I love you. The two millennials, supposedly, are the ones
saying, what
are you talking about?
Right.
Coach, be tough. And you are of an older generation.
Yeah.
The stereotype is being blown up in this segment right now.
I don't want to be classified as a millennial.
I said, in
professional sports, I'm all for it. I mean, you get the guys, get in the guy's face, let him have it, you know? Guy's making millions, go after him. I'm 100% with that. You know, sometimes, though, here's the problem. And not that I, look, you're right. This society is so soft, it's ridiculous. Don't even get me going on that. But I think sometimes when I'm bothered by these college coaches, because these it's all about them.
Yeah.
It's all about them. The play, you know, the stars of college basketball are not the players. The stars are the Tom Izzos. And I think that's what bothers me about it.
I will say this, though.
You know what I mean?
I will say this, Joe. I will respectfully disagree in one case this year.
Okay.
And that's with Zion. He's playing for the most fabled coach.
No. Okay.
That's
a rare situation.
But you're right. But that is, he's a rare situation that's the case.
I agree with your point about the coach being the star, but here's the thing. Every player at the college level, high school level, kids, NBA, some people need to be treated differently.
No, I understand that.
And I trust that Izzo knows with this kid in particular, my bad's on lack of hustle. Yeah. The only way I'm going to get through to him, and he didn't hit him.
He didn't hit him. No.
He didn't throw a chair. He didn't do any of that stuff.
No, he didn't strangle him. Nothing. None of that.
And we also don't know what he said. He could be screaming effort at what. Right. What's wrong with that?
I think it's more of this. What bothers me is that it's, you know, it's so much about the coaches and it's just not about the players.
Well, I think one thing, too, is the staying power isn't there as much anymore with the players like it was 30 years ago with Leitner and Hurley. So now all of a sudden, if players are coming and going, what's the one constant? Krzyzewski, Roy, Self, Izzo, Calipari. That's a big part of it.
Yes, it's definitely changed in that regard.
I also thought,
no doubt about it,
that the kid, forget his name now, Cassius
Winston.
Cassius Winston.
Yeah, he did a great job.
I thought he came across great. He looked like such a leader the way he was basically getting involved, almost saying, Coach, I'll take care of this.
Yeah,
that's the way.
That's what you want from your point guard.
Absolutely, you love it.
Yeah, that's what you want from your point guard.
I think he came away looking the best out of this.
Is he an NBA player, Winston?
I think he can make a roster. I think he can make a roster, potentially be a backup. Here's the thing, and this is something that I think that's interesting. Is when we'll talk about this more as we get ready for the draft. An NBA head coach told me this a long time ago. You are who you can guard. So we're watching a guy at Murray State yesterday that looked like he could run an NBA team and be a star in the NBA.
Clearly.
So if you are going to be in the NBA, you're guarding him. You're guarding Westbrook. You're guarding Lillard. You're guarding Chris Paul. You're guarding Dennis Smith. I'm just saying, like, is Cassius Winston going to be able to do that?
Right. Well, let me ask you this question, because I was scouting yesterday.
I know you always are.
For the Knicks draft choice, okay? You ready for this? But I wasn't scouting Ja Morant. I was scouting the guy they're probably going to wind up getting, because the Knicks are not going to get the first pick in a draft.
Rui Hachimura?
Right. And that's exactly the guy. Well, what I think is I can't make any assessment of him because who he was playing.
He'll play Baylor on Saturday.
They had no chance. I mean, FDU had, and I felt bad for Herenda and his kids on FDU because they just had no shot. I mean, I'm watching it. They couldn't get a shot. They couldn't get any shots. So how can I make any determination about Hachimura playing against them? I can't. So I'll get a better feel against Baylor. You're right.
Well, I mean, and this is what's going to make your show so interesting in May is that there's not really a lot of in between here.
No, I understand. So right now, I think we asked you this the other day. You look at it as a 3-player draft. That's it. Three players,
and they can get the fourth pick.
Oh, they could get the fifth pick.
Yeah, fourth or fifth.
And they're going to have the worst record in the league. I don't even think it's debatable. I don't know if they're going to win another game.
There's a better chance they pick fourth or fifth.
Would you guys, and I know you're not a Knicks fan, Ev, but you're doing shows here every day, would you guys prefer R.J. Barrett or Morant?
No, Morant.
Morant. Oh, yeah. No, definitely.
John, you're going
to
think
to
I'm
me,
nuts.
It's got to be, for me to have a big smile on my face, okay, at draft day, they got to either get the first or second pick because they got to get one of those two guys, Williamson or Morant. Got to be one of them.
You'll think I'm nuts.
I don't even know that. I don't know about the other guys.
I feel safer about Ja Morant than I do Zion Williamson.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I feel safer. Doesn't mean Zion doesn't have the bigger upside. Of course he does. I feel safer that Morant will be a really good player at the next level. Zion could be a great player at the next level. I just feel safer with Ja Morant.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean I take him over Zion Williamson. But, yeah, I think most Knicks fans right now are nervous about May 14th.
Sure.
Yeah, no question.
You got to be.
Especially when
fan.
The odds tilt that they're not going to pick in the top three.
And they're the Knicks, since they won the Patrick Ewing lottery, and I still think that was fixed, you know, 33 years ago.
The frozen envelope.
I still think it was. I mean, that's me.
Your shows before the lottery are going to be gold.
That's just me.
It's going to be like Joe during the AFC Championship game with the Jets in Denver in 98.
Yeah, that well.
Now, here's the difference. Here's why you're wrong.
Joe, when they were up 10-0, did you think they were going to win?
Absolutely not.
No, but here's where you're wrong. I can't speak for 98, but I can speak for 9 and 10. going into the AFC title game the week before, he was confident, thought they'd win. Yeah. That's never happening with the lottery. It's not happening.
No,
there will not be a moment where he thinks that.
No.
So I think the comparison
absolutely
just
not
doesn't work in that
because
regard.
Because you look at the Knicks in the lottery since they won the Ewing lottery. They have never, ever moved up in the lottery. Now, they've stayed the same or they've moved down. They've never gone up. So I believe
moving back helped it. They would have had Okafor instead of Porzingis.
Right.
Granted, it didn't work with Porzingis.
Well, it depends how this all plays out.
Right, you don't know. We don't know what all these guys are going to be.
Right.
But it's funny, John, I was watching the Gonzaga game, and I thought I was scouting because I had read a mock draft the other day that had Achimura going 16 to where the Nets are, and I'm looking at him 6'8". He can sort of shoot the three. I don't think I saw a lot of that yesterday. He's got some size.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, this is...
They didn't have to shoot threes against, against FDU.
So I'm watching this kid saying, oh, man, he could fit the Nets. Do you project him as being a star-caliber player that would go in the top five or ten?
Yeah, I think there's a chance with what he obviously, you know, can bring to the table.
So it's more realistic he goes top five than 15 to 20?
Oh, yeah, no question.
Really?
I think Rui's going to do really well in workouts.
Okay. So the mock draft is way off in your mind.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is that other kid an
time?
NBA player, too? What's the other kid's name on the front line for Gonzaga?
Brandon Clark.
Clark.
Yeah, very efficient.
Yep.
Yeah. Very efficient.
I can't believe I wasted my time. I was envisioning this guy in a net uniform and everything. Now you're telling me you're not getting him.
No. And it's not a great draft.
Well, no, right.
That's fine.
It's not a great draft.
But we don't know. But I never makes his point all the time. 100% right. I mean, you say it's not a great draft, but then you see guys, as he's mentioned, you know, Giannis, he's mentioned Kawhi Leonard, different guys that have been later first-round picks.
Tons of them.
That have turned out to be better than the number one pick in a draft by a lot.
John, most of the time, I went through this over the last decade, the guy who goes number one does not end up being the best player in the draft. Most of the time.
I know.
So that's the thing. You're not wrong. Your evaluation, I think, is fair of what you're seeing now. But one of the big keys that you can't evaluate, just because it's impossible, is the work ethic.
Right.
The coaching that these guys put in to get to that next level or the lack thereof. I don't know. I don't think you were that high on Markelle Fultz. I'm trying to remember. But how
I was not sold on him being the first overall pick.
Fair enough.
And I didn't like the fact that they were 9-22 at Washington where he was the best player.
That's
a bad sign.
Yes. No,
if you're not that good.
Sign.
And, like, you know, that was a team, too.
Completely
I remember
agree.
James Jones, who's the head coach at Yale, is a very good coach, obviously. Like, they didn't have Mekhi Mason healthy for that game. Mekhi Mason was the player who shined last night for Baylor when he was at Yale. He doesn't play in that game, and Yale still went up to Washington and won the game with Fultz on the team.
Right.
That was a bad sign.
That's a very big
one. That's a bad sign.
But even still, he's basically a guy that can't shoot the basketball now. So it's gone far worse than anyone could have expected.
Far worse.
And I think, and I want to give you credit, because and if I'm wrong, well, then I'm giving you credit for no reason. I think you thought Tatum was the best player in that draft.
I like Tatum. I also felt if Lonzo went to the right situation,
well,
he would have been better.
Maybe it's not the right situation. See D'Angelo Russell.
Yeah.
Because now he's in the right situation.
But I thought if Lonzo had the right players around him and he could tee them up, I'm not giving up on that kid yet.
No, you shouldn't. You shouldn't give up on him. It's 2 years.
No, you can't give up on him.
Yeah.
Give me the
Lonzo
game.
And Tatum, I liked.
Give me the most, the sexiest game you feel today. The game
Arizona
really
State
have
Buffalo.
To see. Really?
Arizona State Buffalo.
Just because Bobby Hurley
the storyline. Cincinnati.
Hurley's against his old team.
Yeah, Cincinnati Iowa is very intriguing. You've got the Zion factor, obviously,
but
Arizona State Buffalo, I love for obvious
what
reasons.
Time is that game?
And you know, other games, Iowa State, Ohio State in brand is very good.
Right.
But I don't think necessarily that it's going to be. You know, I expect Iowa State to win the game relatively easily, and I also think Wisconsin Oregon's a good game.
Yeah.
Ducks are playing
not
well.
Not your typical 5-12
match. Yeah, that's a good game.
No, absolutely not.
That's a good game.
We'll come back more with John Rothstein on some of today's games, and I'll get to Syracuse from late last night.
John, I just have to say this because Rothstein is with us, and he's like on the phone. I mean, you know, the guy is doing 14 things at once.
Are you able to talk
he's
right
on
now?
The phone.
I'm working.
He's talking to some big coach. You know, he's texting whoever it is. You know, I mean, it's unbelievable.
Do you have
what
news to report?
Working on it. Nothing yet. You guys will know right away.
What does that
is
mean?
It related to a coach
is that an injury?
Or an injury?
Somebody getting fired?
Coaching stuff.
Okay.
Getting fired?
Coaching stuff.
A firing of a coach?
Not right now. Hopefully, a couple of hirings. Just trying to be on top of things. You
all
know
right.
that.
Listen,
you're on top of it. It's ridiculous.
Can I ask you a question, or is that going to be too difficult?
Go ahead.
All right.
Go ahead. I'm ready to
all
roll.
All right, okay. I'm making sure. I don't want to catch you off guard. Last night, Syracuse got picked off by Baylor. Frank Howard didn't play. Was he ever going to play, by the way? Was he going to be suspended for the entire tournament?
Before you answer that, can I just say one thing?
Yeah.
Okay, because I'm watching. There's a question right now on the NFL Network that's one of the most ridiculous questions I've ever seen. And that they are even throwing it out there is just like it's unbelievable. But anyway, go ahead.
What was the question? Now you got me
Should
interested.
The Giants, instead of drafting their potential next franchise quarterback,
right,
draft a wide receiver to replace to replace Odell Beckham?
Yes,
I mean, come on,
DK Metcalf. Is that what they're talking
about?
I mean,
come on. I mean, is this what they're spewing on?
Do you want me
network?
To put a different channel on?
No, I mean, it's like ridiculous. I'm sorry, John. I mean, you could care less, John.
It's football. You do your thing.
This stuff just makes me nuts.
Draft
the wide receiver instead of drafting the future quarterback of the team.
You know it. They need topics. That's what the sports talk TV
topic.
Is. Is LeBron James finished? He got blocked by his Hazonia.
Oh, my God.
I mean, that's literally a topic.
Oh, man.
That's a topic.
It's painful.
So that's the way the world is.
Yeah, my God. I'm sorry, John. I know you could care.
Was Frank Howard ever going to play?
Right.
Potentially. I don't know. Jim Boeheim's the only one who knows that.
What was he suspended for, by the way? You know?
I mean, this was a repeat offense.
Was it? You know what it was?
I mean, when people say it's, you know, you're suspended for a couple of games, yeah.
Was that? Okay.
So like,
I did a signal with my mouth.
Oh, is that what it was?
That's what I did.
All right.
So he said, so yeah. Surprised by what happened in this game? Because they got off to a really bad start. I saw them down a lot early. Then they came back, and it was a relatively tight game. But I was more focused on Seton Hall, to be perfectly honest with you. Any surprise about how the Baylor-Syracuse game went?
I was surprised with how well, you know, Baylor shot the basketball. You know, I thought Baylor played great, but no, I'm not surprised. You know, one of the things that you have to look at with Baylor is this. Baylor was in a situation, for all intents and purposes, where they were not really not used to seeing zone because they see every zone in practice because they play it, so they weren't really intimidated by the 2-3.
Today, we've got Liberty in the 12-5 game. We have St. Louis in a 13-4 game. Do you see one of those two teams pulling off a double-digit seed upset? Oh, wow. That was a deep thought.
I don't see Liberty winning. I think Mississippi State will win that game.
What about St. Louis?
Liberty in that game.
What about St. Louis? They won the A-10. Yeah. They went through that tournament. What about them?
They can. They beat Virginia Tech 2 years ago. I think the good thing for St. Louis is this. Virginia Tech's not an overwhelmingly big team. So I think when you look at it, you know, it's not like they're going to be overwhelmed inside. The best player for Virginia Tech inside is Kerry Blackshear. St. Louis can match up with him, with Hassan French inside. St. Louis has got high major players. Tremaine Isabel, you know, Deion Wiley, Jordan Goodwin, Javon Best is a transfer from Mississippi State.
Last year, when UMBC shocked the world, right, no one really ever expects a 16 to beat a 1 because it hadn't happened until last year. Mm-hmm. Was there anything It did happen. Okay. I can confirm I watched it. It was crazy.
No, I know.
I got a good hour out of that on my Saturday show the next day. I understand.
I'm just leaving it. I'm not saying anything else. I'm just, you know, making sure.
Sure.
Okay.
Was there something about UMBC last year that gave you the impression, not that they could win, but that maybe they're different than a normal 16 seed?
No, because UMBC last year wasn't even the team to watch in the America East Conference. That's what made this. That's what made the upset so almost ridiculous.
No, the 16
ridiculous.
Made it the opposite.
No! Vermont was the team that dominated that league. They had a home game in the conference tournament, and Jarris Lyles made a 3 to give UMBC the victory.
But still, the 16 seed is why it's the story.
Right.
You're not wrong. You're
not because it was UMBC.
I'm just telling you, from somebody who covers the sport,
no, I was ready to come in here and talk about Vermont.
Some miracle would beat North Carolina tonight. The story, Iona's going to be the story of the tournament.
I get that, but I would say, well, this is like one of Tim Kloos's worst teams.
Well,
that's a story. There's been other teams at Iona that have been more suited to win a game in the NCAA tournament than the team we're going to see tonight.
Okay, wait. Say that again, because now I'm confused. What did you say?
Tim Kloos has done a
This is a bad Iona team.
Not one of his better teams. He's went to the NCAA tournament a bunch. You know, I don't think this is necessarily his best team. Hold on 1 sec.
Wow.
Coach, I'm on the air for a couple more minutes.
Let's listen to what he's saying. I got a scoop for you? Is that what he's saying?
Just about 5 minutes. I'll call you back.
5 minutes.
Wow.
Who's that? Who's that?
No.
Was that Izzo?
That wasn't Izzo.
We're thinking of the same guy.
Yeah.
Was that Boeheim? What's going on here?
Was it Boeheim?
I think it was.
No, it wasn't Boeheim.
That was Buddy Boeheim.
It was Boeheim. Oh, you're horrible, Beningo.
Of the 16 seeds playing today.
Oh, boy.
Because right, obviously, Fairleigh Dickinson, our guys, they had no shot last night. Gardner Webb against Virginia. Obviously, Virginia was the victim of it last year. Iona, and then the other one. Whoever won that. Oh, what was it? North Dakota State or whatever it is?
Yeah, that's it.
Who's got the best shot? I know you're going to say nobody, but of the three, who gives us the best prayer of a back-to-back 16 seed winning?
None of them.
No, there's got to be one.
Well, it's not Iona just because North Carolina is Iona on steroids.
So it has to be Gardner Webb against Virginia.
I would think it would be Gardner Webb against Virginia.
It has to be because you're not going against Duke.
I would think it would be Gardner Webb.
Is Gardner Webb any good?
They were fourth in the Big South. Radford was the team in that league. Radford was the team that beat Texas and Notre Dame.
Boy, that's, you know what the funny thing is? That's sort of the problem, I think, Joe.
Can you imagine if Virginia lost this game?
That'd be amazing.
Oh, my God.
Kill my bracket.
Well, me too.
Forget about that. But, you know, the legacy that would start to happen, these, you know, these features and these documentaries.
Tony Bennett would get fired.
No, he wouldn't.
Well, nah,
he
should. Fired. No, he shouldn't.
Back-to-back users.
Nah, but you're a one seed. Nah, look what he's done for that program.
No, I know.
Nah, you're nuts.
I am.
That one I can't agree with.
I'm half kidding.
No, I understand.
I wouldn't be happy, though.
Nobody would.
Nobody would.
Especially Tony Bennett.
But don't you think that, because you even said it with UMBC, and now you're saying it with Gardner Webb, that don't you want the best of these schools and that a regular season title may go a longer way into getting the best team into the tournament as opposed to a fluky conference tournament win?
Well, you know my feeling on that. I mean, how many times have we seen it where, you know, the team had a tremendous year, regular season, they had one bad game in the conference tournament, and they don't make the big tournament.
Yeah.
Right. And they were clearly better than the team that made it.
Correct.
And we've seen that over and over
again.
And
that makes this upset much less likely.
Correct.
And I understand your point, because what you're saying about UMBC is fair. Like you said, you watched them, you knew it was a surprise, you were preparing for Vermont, but for everybody else, a 16 is a 16 is a 16 is a 16. Doesn't matter, right? 16 is a 16 is a 16. Yep. 16 never beat a 1. 16 won. Boom. Big story.
Correct.
So, in a way, it'd be better if the regular season champion got in, because then you'd have a better chance of the 16 beating the 1 seed.
Correct.
Do you agree with me?
I agree.
Oh, well, look at that. Oh.
I don't agree that regular season champs should get in, but I agree that they would have a better chance of being a 1 seed.
But they should get in, though.
No, they shouldn't, because it takes away from championship week, 100%.
Come on.
Yeah. Cancel it.
No, I'm sorry.
Don't cancel it.
I'm sorry. It's ridiculous. You know what they should do in some of these mid-majors? Seriously, this is what they should do. If they're going to have this dumb tournament, what they should do, it is dumb. What they should do is do what the Ivy League does. Only 4 teams get in.
I like that.
Right?
That's
only
good.
4 teams. This way it minimizes the chance of some bogus team getting, against the best team in the conference, having a big game against them and getting in.
Right.
Isn't that a little smarter move? And I understand.
I don't think so. Because you take away some of what makes March Madness great.
John,
well, how are you doing that?
Because you take away the mid-major conference tournament.
No, you're not. You still got 4 teams making it.
Different tournament. John, go take that phone call. We always appreciate it, my friend.
You don't want to talk to us anymore.
We're talking about championship week. I'm telling you why you can't take away mid-major conference tournament.
Yeah, I understand.
We'll continue Monday.
I mean, jeez. You want the top seed to go to
Dolby's
the tournament?
Dolby's going to freak out if I don't go to break right now.
Yeah,
right? John,
Dolby freaking out is not something that's pretty.
I want to finish this debate.
Monday.
You can't take away the mid-major conference tournament.
Right. You'll be back Monday.
We're talking about it.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.